the chief law enforcement officer of our country is going off the rails. He is the Attorney General of the United States of America, not the Attorney General of Donald Trump.
The Attorney General of the United States of America believes he needs to protect the President of the United States, and I think that's unfortunate.
Barr, you know, threw out this bombshell and at the same time refused to present any evidence of it. That is, in my view, reckless and clearly political.
This is an attempt to take the attention off that very serious these very serious crimes and divert people's attention to absolute conspiratorial nonsense.
The Democrats are having a meltdown. They are in complete and total demolition mode. They are trying as hard as they can to undermine the credibility of Attorney General Barr. Why? Because they know they have to get out in front of this before enough people take it seriously to do them damage. That's why. Good morning. Welcome into this Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. I'm your sometimes humble host, hoping you're having a terrific Thursday. Welcome in from wherever you may be listening or whatever. I mean, if you are on the Facebook live stream, good morning. Good to have you here. Thanks for being along. If you are listening via a time machine of some sort in the future by podcast, good to have you along as well. Thanks for being there. Well, you can always tell when the Democrats believe they are in potential danger. They lash out, and they lashed out in a huge way against Attorney General Barr. And the reason they lashed out is because he said this.
Spying on a political campaign is a big deal.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me...
But the question is whether it was predicated, adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation. Congress is usually very concerned about intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane, and I want to make sure that happens.
So, what he has said is that he believes that federal authorities spied on the Trump campaign in 2016. He believes this. And, and now they're going nuts. He later clarified in the hearing, and you heard it there, I'm not saying that improper surveillance occurred, I'm saying that I'm concerned about it and looking into it, that's all. Now, he did clarify that in his statement. He said, yeah, I think maybe that, you know, I just want to be sure that, I know it happened, I just want to be sure it was proper. And that's what he's saying. Well, the Democrats are losing their minds. They're going nuts. They're doing everything they can to undermine his credibility because they know he's telling the truth. That's the only reason that they would go on the attack in the way they have. He's telling the truth. Despite mounting evidence that the FBI pursued an array of efforts to gather intelligence from within the Trump campaign and the fact that the FBI successfully pursued warrants to surveil a former Trump aide in 2016, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said Barr's loyalties were compromised. You see, they are saying he is Trump's attorney general. They are undermining his credibility. They are trying, they're trying really hard to persuade their base, those people who will believe anything the politicians on the evening news tell them, they're trying to persuade them that this is all dirty, that Trump has an insider, and that this insider is going to defend him instead of telling America the truth. It's another classic case of projection from the left. They've been caught, they've been exposed, and publicly so, and they've gone on the attack. If you look back throughout the history of the Democrat Party, you will see that this is what they do every time something fishy is going on and there's any suspicious of it's any suspicion of them, they go on the attack. This is going to be a pretty big story, one that you should be paying attention to as it unfolds. It's just going to be a crazy time. Denny Hoyer said he's acting as an employee of the president. I believe the attorney general believes he needs to protect the president of the United States. That's a lie. Nancy Pelosi, in an interview with the AP, said, I don't trust Barr, I trust Mueller. Mueller found no reason for any further indictments. But you still trust him. They still want to keep that water muddied so people are confused. But doggone it, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, they said this is true, so it must be. Adam Pencilneck Schiff of California. House Intelligence. Wow, what a bad choice of words for this guy. House Intelligence Committee Chairman. Added in a statement that Barr, quote, should not casually suggest that those under his purview engaged in spying on a political campaign. Why not, Mr. Schiff? You've been on talk show after talk show declaring as fact that you have evidence and have seen evidence of collusion during the Trump campaign. You have seen evidence of guilt and involvement with the Russians, and yet you have produced nothing. Absolutely nothing. Adam Schiff, by the way, that bug-eyed, pencil-necked loser from California, is a world-class snake oil salesman. He is a liar of the highest order. He went on to say this type of partisan talking point may please Donald Trump, who rails against a deep state coup, in quotes, but it also strikes another destructive blow to our democratic institutions. The hardworking men and women at the DOJ and FBI deserve better. You know what? The hardworking, honest members of the DOJ and the FBI, the hardworking, honest, respectable people who are operating within the bounds of the law, they do deserve better than you have asked them to do, Mr. Schiff. Now, Attorney General Barr's comments and the ensuing semantic hullabaloo followed a new report that the Justice Department's internal watchdog is scrutinizing the role of an FBI informant who contacted members of the Trump campaign during the 2016 election as part of a broader review of the early stages of the Russia investigation. The New York Times reported that Justice Department Inspector General, that's the IG, Michael Horowitz is looking into informant Stephen Halper's work during the Russia probe, as well as his work with the FBI prior to the start of the probe. Now, Trump, for his part, has vowed to release surveillance warrant applications used to monitor his former aide, Carter Page, beginning in October of 2016. The FBI's partisan sources in those applications have come under scrutiny, and FBI text messages obtained by Fox News show high-level concerns at the DOJ as to the credibility of sources presented to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act Court, the FISA Court. This is a term you've heard a lot during all of this. High-level concerns at the Department of Justice as to the credibility of the sources presented to the FISA Court. In other words, there is concern that they lied to the FISA court to get what they wanted. Now, Page was never charged with any wrongdoing. Now, a separate DOJ Inspector General investigation into potential FISA abuses by the FBI, which is expected to look at whether the Bureau improperly presented misleading sources or withheld exculpatory information in its presentations to the FISA court, is ongoing. Barr said that review is likely to be completed by May or June. In particular, the FBI assured the FISA court on numerous occasions in the October 2016 warrant application and in subsequent renewals that other sources, including a Yahoo News article, independently corroborated Steele's claims without evidence to back it up. It later emerged that Steele was also the source of the Yahoo News article. That article was written by reporter Michael Isikoff. And this, please get the show notes today. The article I'm quoting from Fox News is in. I'm only halfway into the article. There's more and more and more. But here's what's going on today. The Democrats will be in front of every news camera they can find. They will be talking to every reporter they can find in order to undermine the credibility of Attorney General William Barr. They will be accusing him of being a partisan hack in leagues with President Trump solely to defend President Trump from the just and righteous charges that the Democrats are making against him. That's what they're going to do all day today. So just keep that in mind. Watch. It's going to happen. This is what they do every time they think they're in trouble. They attack. And they're going on the attack right now. In fact, I bet if you turn on the morning news programs, you'll find on each channel, you'll find a different Democrat talking passionately, animatedly about how evil Bill Barr, Attorney General Bill Barr, is for siding with Trump and defending him. And as you heard, the talking point is already there. He's Trump's attorney general. He is defending Donald Trump, not the United States of America. Those phrases are being repeated by all of them. They've been issued their talking points and walking orders, and now they're out there doing what they've been told to do. So, you can watch and be entertained today, knowing that everything every Democrat is saying on every news program has been scripted for them. They've all been told what to say and how to act, because they've got to get out in front of this and keep anyone from taking it seriously. And it's very, very serious. Those who have been paying attention since this all began are aware of what happened. We're aware that the Steele dossier was manufactured. We're aware that it was paid for by the Clinton campaign. We're aware that Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC worked hand in hand with President Barack Hussein Obama to attempt to undermine the credibility of Donald Trump and destroy his campaign. We know this has been going on because we've been paying attention, unlike the great masses who just get their information from the evening news and from entertainers, whether they be movie stars or singers or whatever. We've actually been paying attention. Those of us who have not been running off into the deep end of conspiracy theory have just been watching, and we've been observing, and we've been waiting, and now, it's all starting to come to the front. It's all about to be exposed and presented in the light of day. And the Democrats can't have that, because they know that enough people will be put off by it that it will shift their chances in the 2020 election. They're desperate to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. They're desperate. They don't want him reelected. He's somebody from the outside who doesn't play by their dirty club rules. So he has to be eliminated. And this is just one more way they're trying to do that. Attorney General Barr says what he says, and they go into a frenzy. They can't have it. You should watch. Go look up the video. I played the audio of all of those Democrats undermining Attorney General Barr. You should go look up the video. Find that video, and I'll see if I can include it in our show notes today. I'll try to, but if it's not there, it just means I got busy and I couldn't dig and find it. But if you, I pulled that audio from a news report. I saw it go by and I hit the button to record on the DVR, and I just pulled it right off the television this morning. And I'll see if I can find it for you elsewhere. Look at the expression on Nancy Pelosi's face. Look at her as she struggles to remember her talking points. That's the reason for her pauses. She's struggling to remember the script. And look at the rest of them. Repeat the same phrasing as they attempt to undermine the credibility of Attorney General William Barr. It's a sight to behold. It really is. And when you watch it with that in mind, it becomes obvious that they're all marching to the same marching orders, reciting the same talking points for the same purpose. We'll dig in a little bit more to this and other things after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to the Daily Perspective. It's a daily podcast and Facebook Live broadcast. I'm trying hard not to call it an event because I keep, every time I use the word event, I think of wrestling. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I do. Maybe it's because the Democrats are so much like those wrestlers posturing when they're talking about fighting one another. You come to this ring, I'll show you who's the king in wrestling. That's what I think of. You know, maybe that's what it is. Oh, my gosh. I hope you're having a good day. I hope there's enough coffee in your world. There doesn't seem to be enough coffee in my world, but we'll see what we can do to rectify that situation. Oh, man, when the Democrats go nuts, you can always know that they're going nuts because they're in defensive mode. They go on the attack. It looks like they're in attack mode, but remember, their attack mode is a defense. So they are defending themselves by attacking someone else. They're on a preemptive strike. And when they're on a preemptive strike, it's pretty entertaining. It really is pretty entertaining. When you know that's what it is. There's no reason to get angry about it. There's no reason to get offended about it. There's no reason to get all up in arms about it. Just know what it is and appreciate the absurdity for what it is and then act accordingly. Remember, tell your friends, oh, yeah, they're lying. And when they say, you can't know that, explain to them how you can. And explain to them that they, just like you, should not trust the news media. I mentioned yesterday about getting a lot of grief on Facebook for something I responded to. And someone, I don't respond to trolls. I just don't. Trolls exist for a reason, and they are to contrast reality with fantasy. That's, in my opinion, that's why they're there. They are the embodiment of the lunacy I am trying to point out. So I don't respond to them. Now, if someone asks a legitimate question directly to me, I will respond. But if someone is just saying, yeah, well, you're an idiot from Alabama, or, oh, yeah, really? What would Jesus do? Which is a couple of things that they said to me. When somebody asks me a real question, I'll answer. And someone asked me, oh, so we're supposed to believe you because you say it's so? And my response is, no. You should never believe anything anyone tells you just because they say it's true. Never. Unless you completely, totally, without reservation, trust that person's judgment because that person has proven to be reliable. Otherwise, and even then I would say, it's wise to do a little of your own due diligence and dig. Find answers, go to the source, and see what really happened. You do that for a little while, and you start developing a sense for what is true and what is not. And in life as we know it, as we have life experience and we get older, we have a good sense for when someone is lying to us and when someone is telling us the truth. If we're honest people, I have to put that qualifier in there. If we're honest people, we know. And more people are indicating that they're not believing what they're seeing on television and in the news every day. The Hollywood Reporter performed a poll, did a poll about the news media. And the finding, what they discovered from this poll, and you know I don't trust polls that much, but this poll is interesting. It was unexpected and shocking to some people. The headline was, Americans think all network news channels lean liberal. Poll finds, common sense seems to be winning. Can we dispose of the ridiculous fiction that the network news product is objective, strictly balanced, and nonpartisan? I don't think so. They polled 2,200 Americans between March 28th and April 2nd and asked if certain media outlets are more liberal or more conservative or have no political lean. The big three networks averaged 35% more liberal and about 20% no political lean. Count on the more liberal classification coming from conservatives and independents and the delusional no political lean answer coming from liberals. One third of the sample picked don't know, no opinion. How can you have no opinion about something like that unless you just really don't care and you want them to get out of your face so you can go back to your phone and Twitter? The numbers were more intense for cable news channels. 46% found CNN to be more liberal. Only 12% found no political lean there. 43% found MSNBC to be more liberal. 12%. Man, they're fair. They're balanced. No political lean there. 51% found Fox to be more conservative. Only 8% said it has no political lean. The Hollywood Reporter's Eric Hayden wrote this sentence without a hint of sarcasm. Quote, network news channels like ABC, CBS, and NBC, which strive toward impartiality in their reporting, were perceived by a significant margin to be more liberal in their political lean than neutral. This is a liberal reporting on the results of a survey, and this liberal actually believes that the network news coming from ABC, CBS, and NBC, she believes they strive to be impartial in their reporting. Now, despite NPR, NPR. Despite NPR's around-the-clock liberalism, only 27% said it leans more liberal. 21% answered it has no political lean. Somebody needs to listen harder to NPR, including the Eric Hayden from the Hollywood Reporter, who bizarrely describes NPR as centrist. NPR is anything but centrist. Holy cow. What the heck? The poll also found that across the board, news consumers insist there's too much opinion-based political commentary in their news product. The numbers were stronger in cable news, but too much opinion beat the right amount of opinion-based political commentary on every network. So, you see, people are picking up on the fact that the people they're looking at on the screen are expressing opinion, not just relaying facts. And I would say that most often when the major channels, the alphabet networks, when they are presenting facts, they present them in such a way as to reflect their opinion rather than reality. Now, Hollywood Reporter did this poll with Morning Consult, and Morning Consult offered an obvious spin. They said President Trump's relentless rhetoric on the mainstream media has helped shape how those mediums are viewed among his base. That was according to Morning Consult Vice President Tyler Sinclair. So it's Trump's fault that people see the media in a negative light. It's all Trump's fault. Sure. The magazine article also included this quote from Andrew Hayward. He's from the Arizona State University Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. By the way, Cronkite was a liberal. Quote, The poll confirms the disturbing but not surprising fact that our polarized public discourse has eroded trust in mainstream journalism. So it was public discourse that eroded journalism, huh? Why can't the media ever take any responsibility for their own trustworthiness? Their problems of trustworthiness. Hayward was the president of CBS News when Dan Rather disgraced the network in 2004. He did that by himself reporting fake news with phony documents about President George W. Bush's Air National Guard service. It was all a lie. Dan Rather, 15 years ago, disgraced CBS News by reporting something that was completely fabricated. He is the father of fake news. Now, the news media remains remarkably unwilling to acknowledge that the complaint of leftist bias in the news product is a very old complaint that resonated long before Donald Trump came down his escalator to run for president. The subject of biased television news is about as old as, well, television news. It's certainly true that even the slightest pretense of fairness has been shredded during the Trump era. Anybody who's observing the news agenda today should probably admit that saying any national media outlet has no political lean is a stretch. The left angrily insists to its allies in the press that striving towards impartiality is synonymous with spreading conservative lies. Letting conservatives make a point, apparently, ruins everything for the people who self-identify as being on the right side of history. So, this is good news that so many people are seeing through the facade. And hopefully you are one of those people. One of those people who has allowed the caffeine of truth to kick in, your eyes have opened, and you realize, wow, these guys aren't dealing straight with me. I need to do a little research. Well, the research continues after the break when The Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you. Hope you're having a terrific day so far. It's Thursday. You know, Thursday is one of those filler days like Tuesday. It doesn't get a lot of respect. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for some reason. Why is it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday get the highlights? I mean, hey, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're going to do this. Tuesday and Thursday, well, you know. We may not even open up on Tuesday and Thursday because, frankly, we're bored with those days. Welcome to Thursday. It's a big day. A big, big day. Lots of stuff is happening, hopefully in your life as well as in the crazy news. And speaking of crazy news, I discovered again last night, late yesterday afternoon, I'm meeting my wife Jane someplace. We've both been on the run. We decided, hey, why don't we meet at this little place and grab a bite to eat and then head back and finish our errands and the like, and then we'll head home after that, okay? So that's what we did. She had an appointment. I was on the run out running around, and so we met at a central spot and had a great little Chinese place we found. It's just amazing. Anyway, we had some shrimp fried rice and some soup and some egg rolls, and then headed in our separate directions and then eventually it wound up back home. But while I was waiting on Jane to arrive, I decided I would check on the, actually I was on my way there and I was listening to the podcast from, I believe it was yesterday. And, it was a podcast from the day before. And then it's supposed to roll over to play you the next one in line. It just naturally does. So then it would have been yesterday's podcast, and then it played one that I had not listened to from the prior week. And I stopped it and went and looked, and there was no podcast for yesterday in the list. So when I got parked and sat down at the table, and I'm waiting on Jane to arrive. I went digging into the back end of the website and saw that there was no, even though I had uploaded the audio file of the podcast, it wasn't listed there. The podcast, the pages had published on the Mark and Mac Show website and on the markcongleton.com website, and they had published, but there was no audio file. Well, that's just nuts. And I'll fix that because I can do that. I have the apps on the phone, so I couldn't do it from the phone for some reason. Well, I have remote control apps as well, so I pulled up my remote control app and tried to log into my studio computer, and no, I couldn't log into. I could log into every other computer I have access to, but the studio computer wouldn't let me in. So I went, after I finished my errands, I went to the studio, got into the studio, and uploaded the podcast. So yesterday's podcast is online now. So again, apologies for the inconvenience to those of you who have become accustomed to it, just delivering to your mobile device or whatever every day. But I did everything that I normally do, and it just vanished. It's happened twice now, and I'm mystified. I don't know why. But today I have some time, so I will spend some time doing a little bit of digging and finding out why and correcting that problem, because that's what you do when you find problems. You solve them. And that's what President Donald Trump is doing. He's identifying problems, and he's solving those problems. And the Democrats don't like that because, well, actually, a lot of politicians, Democrat and Republican, don't like that because they've got a sweet gig. They spend their time campaigning. They spend their time fundraising. They show up for the TV cameras, and they posture, and they vote, and they talk about, they recite the talking points their staff gives them, and then they go back out, and they fundraise again because that's how they fundraise and they network. That's how they become fabulously wealthy and lose all contact with the people back home who sent them to be there. And they don't like Donald Trump because that's not his world. And he's a problem solver and a creator. And doing what he does has made it extremely obvious that they don't do what they say they do. It's like that guy at work who says, hey, man, slow down. You're making the rest of us look bad. That's the entrenched politicians. Well, President Donald Trump has a new weapon in the war he's waging against illegal immigration and those who take advantage of it. Many illegal immigrants work in the United States and use the cash they earn to pay family back in their home nations. Now, I, like some of you, have actually seen where an immigrant family or an immigrant individuals will rent a house, and all of a sudden, there are 6, 8, 10, 12 cars parked in the driveway and around the house because there's two dozen people living in that one house. They're all working, mowing grass, hanging sheetrock, in construction, things like that. And they're splitting the rent on the house so that they're each paying just pennies. You know, they're just paying a few dollars a month each on the rent on the house. And they're eating, you know, they're eating cheap, and they're sending every dime they can back home. And this is a scenario which has happened and has been uncovered time and time and time again. Well, now President Trump is planning to cut those payments off and deport the illegal immigrants who attempt to send them. According to the Epoch Times, the White House is considering a plan to curb payments sent to Mexico and Central American countries in order to stem a surge of illegal aliens pouring into the United States. A senior administration official told reporters yesterday, the plan would restrict remittances from the United States in order to discourage migrants. The move is part of a broader plan targeting migrants who cross the border illegally to claim asylum. The vast majority of asylum claims are rejected, but loopholes in the immigration laws result in many of the immigrants being released into the interior with work permits as they await adjudication of their claims. Many never show up to be deported and continue working in the United States and sending money to relatives in their home countries. We've talked about this before. They show up at the border. They know, they've been told, you just have to tell them you're seeking asylum. I'm seeking asylum. So They seek asylum. They're given a court date to reappear for the adjudication of their claim to see whether or not they have a valid asylum claim, and then they're released. And they just vanish like a mist in the wind. They disappear into the fabric. They're gone. Well, according to the World Bank, 33.7 billion, that's with a B, $33.7 billion in remittances was sent to Mexico last year, 2018. That's an increase of 21% from 2016. The outflow to Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras grew to $19.7 billion in 2018. That's a 25% increase from 2016. A significant portion of the payments goes to human trafficking cartels that charge at least $5,000 per person to help the migrants travel and enter the United States. In an April 9th interview with Breitbart, former Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach floated a plan to threaten to end remittances to Mexico entirely. The threat can be used to force Mexico to enact a ban on Central Americans traveling through the country to the United States. Mexico already has a robust asylum system and could demand that migrants seek asylum in the first country they arrive in. That would be Mexico. Quote, "The threat I propose is one that actually helps us if we follow through on it." Wow, that's a big if. That is the threat of ending remittances from the majority of people in the United States from Mexico who are here illegally. That is a threat that we could carry through on that actually helps our economy, because the money is not sent home. It stays in circulation in the U.S. economy and helps rev up our economy. It's actually a good thing if we follow through. They don't want to risk losing that massive flow of foreign capital. In most years, it's their second biggest source of foreign capital. Their second largest source of foreign capital infusement. Think about that. Illegals sending cash home is their second, some years, their second largest flow of foreign money. That's amazing. And the fact that this plan is being considered is welcome. It is a relief. And it's something that has been said for quite some time. People have said, yeah, well, if you stop the flow of money back home, they won't have a reason to stay here. They can make the money, but it can't go back home. Most of them will just leave and go where they can make some money that they can send back home. And now it looks like that's actually going to happen. And that is good news. Now, I said something about follow-through. The biggest problem we have with any program like this is the actual implementation and the follow-through. They make a lot of show about putting it into effect. They make a lot of show about putting that signature on the bottom of the legislation. They make a lot of show about getting it passed. But then we find out years down the road that they got it rolling, and because of this and that and the other thing, whatever was more politically expedient at the time, the program suffers, and it doesn't accomplish what it said it was going to accomplish. So that is something to keep in mind as well. I'm not trying to be negative Nelly here, but we know how Washington works, don't we? We know that they're all about getting in front of those TV cameras and talking about saving the country. We know they're all about being interviewed, standing under the lights, millions of people watching them, and playing the part of the hero. And then we find out a little while later that their heroic actions didn't really accomplish anything. And that's why regular folks like you and me, folks like us, we have to keep paying attention and keep emailing, writing, and calling the people we elect to office to remind them, you went there to represent us for this reason. And we're watching you. And if you don't follow through, we will work hard to make sure this is your last term in office. It's a three strikes game, and you're on strike two, pal. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Thanks so much for being there, wherever there is. Thanks for signing up for the daily newsletter. It's a real simple thing to do. You just go to the website. Go to markcongleton.com. Look over on the right-hand column. Fill out a little form. I only ask you for your name and email address. That's it. First name, last name, email address. All I ask for. And then you get an email, which is basically asking you, are you sure? When you answer yes to that email, the next thing you know, you're getting a daily update from the show, which is basically the links to the stories to talk about. And trust me, there's a lot more to the stories than I get into usually. And you also get the stuff I don't get to. For example, today, I've got a huge, huge stack of stories. And right now I have time for one, maybe two more. I'm never getting to everything. But if you're a newsletter subscriber, you're going to get the links to all of those stories I didn't get to. There were stories I saw and thought, wow, that'd be good to talk about. Let's talk about that. And some days, like yesterday, some days it's kind of thin because all of the news services are consumed with one story. So there's a lot of digging you have to do in order to find anything else to talk about. So yesterday was kind of thin. Today, woohoo! There's a lot of stuff that's going to be in the bonus files. Just there's a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. Let me look here. Bernie Sanders has introduced a new revamped Medicare for All plan. He doesn't tell people what's really in the plan and how it's going to affect them. And if they if it's passed, they will have no choice about insurance. They will not be able to choose their doctor or their policy ever again. He doesn't tell. I won't get to that story. What else is there? AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's neighbors, her neighbors are telling people now, she doesn't live here. We have seen her like once, but there are notes taped to her door from constituents. She doesn't live at the address she has on all of her forms. And her excuse is, yeah, well, she got death threats, so she moved. And that's not going to be public. I still live in my district, but I'm not telling you where I live because people are crazy and they're trying to kill me. These conservative people are nuts and they hate me and they're trying to kill me. Right. Yeah. What else is there? 234 House Democrats and two Republicans co-sponsored a bill forcing the schools to let male athletes compete on girls' sports teams. That's insane. Don't have time to get to it today. Kirsten Gillibrand. Oh my Lord. Kirsten Gillibrand. You need to look into her. She's crazy. And there's more. There's more and more and more stuff. What I want to talk about right now is something that is a buzzword that you're probably going to start hearing about either today or, well, because of what happened with Barr and what he said, you may not hear about this today. You may not hear about it at all. And that's a really good reason to talk about it. And that is net neutrality. Your liberal friends are all about net neutrality. They say it's important to put the government in control of the internet because if there is no control, then evil corporations will raise prices. They will make it unaffordable for a lot of people. Evil corporations will restrict bandwidth for the average person and give more bandwidth to business. Evil corporations control the internet. And we're all going to be victims if that's the case. So the government has to be our hero and save us from that. Well, that, by the way, is not at all the case. It is not These people don't understand the free market system. They really don't. Businesses will never outprice them. They'll never price themselves out of business if they're smart. If they do, they fail. Other people will come in and take up where they drop the ball. It's just the way it works. Well, Republicans are taking notice of the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives passing an Obama-era government-controlled internet bill to restore 2015 net neutrality rules. That would be reversing a 2017 rollback of the rules by the Federal Communications Commission under the Trump administration. The House passed H.R. 1644, called the Save the Internet Act of 2019, by a 232-190 vote yesterday. Net neutrality, they say, would ensure that lawful traffic across the internet is treated fairly. Fairly. We want it all to be fair. Life is not fair. The universe is not fair. When you finally realize that and walk in it accordingly, life gets better. Representative Dan Crenshaw, Republican from Texas, he's the new guy, the vet with the eye patch. You've seen him, okay? He tweeted in response, net neutrality is about trying to solve imaginary problems. This is another messaging bill. The internet works fine. What are Democrats trying to save the internet from? Asked House Minority Whip Steve Scalise. The internet isn't broken. Scalise tore into House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party for their hysterical claims that the internet as we know it is doomed when Republicans repealed net neutrality, but their predictions never came true. Their predictions never came true. He continued by saying, internet speed and investment has increased because we once again have a free and competitive marketplace. H.R. 1644 throws open the gates to government control of everything from price setting to investment oversight. Heavy-handed regulations and taxes will dry up investments, slow down traffic, and limit access for rural communities. Decades of innovation and private investment gave us the most revolutionary product of the century. It's ridiculous to say that all of a sudden we need to treat the internet like a regulated utility. He went on to say, a free and open internet has always operated best without the government being involved, and we should fight to keep it that way. Oregon Republican Representative Greg Walden also blasted Democrat solutions as not real net neutrality. He added, net neutrality does not require a government takeover of the internet, and everyone knows their bill will never become law. Representative Mike Doyle, Democrat from Pennsylvania, he's the guy that introduced the bill. He said, for the Republicans to stand here and say that they care about net neutrality rules when they had 2 years when they controlled the House and the Senate and the House, White House, what did they do? They did nothing. Well, Representative Doyle, they did nothing because nothing needed to be done. The internet isn't broken. It hasn't been broken. There's nothing wrong with it. It's operating just fine. And it's operating just fine because government doesn't have their claws dug into it. That's why. You see, savvy people like you understand that whenever government gets its hands on something, that something loses its efficiency. It loses its value. It loses its ability to deliver what it was designed to deliver. If you don't believe me, go to the DMV today and stand in line. Go to the post office at lunch, and I have to say that, at lunch. Go on your lunch break to the post office and see how efficiently it operates. You probably will discover what I've discovered. You will be standing in line with a lot of people when the least number of windows possible will be open for people to do their business. And you will hear people in the back chatting and laughing and enjoying their lunch break. while you are waiting during your lunch break to get something done. Take an Amtrak train anywhere, and you'll see what government does when it gets control of something. We don't need the internet under government control. Not if you want it to be free and work right. And if you want to keep listening to podcasts like The Daily Perspective, which will be back tomorrow, God bless you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.